Brother Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to start a new study. We already did the some of the introduction yesterday, and if you'd like to go over that, it's on the Book of Lamentations. It is a an additional writing of Jeremiah, and it's concerning the fall and the for Jerusalem and the mourning for Jerusalem. And we're going to go ahead and get started on the first chapter today. And let's begin. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become forced labor. They became slaves to the Babylonians, and it was a shame. And Jeremiah, just like all of the true prophets of God, he cried, and he would show how much it broke his heart, the people living in sin and not repenting. He cried as if it was he that was committing the sin. And that's exactly what prophets do. They cry for the people as if they are the ones that's guilty. And this is just how a prophet acts. The repentance is so important to them. It's not the money. It's not the prosperity message. It's not all of this garbage, airplanes, and many things that don't amount to anything. It is the people repenting. That is the main objective. Let's read on. Who was once great among the nations, she who was princess among the provinces have become a forced labor. She weeps bitterly in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her. Among all her lovers, all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile under affliction and under harsh servitude. She dwells among the nations, but she has found no rest. All her pursuers have overtaken her. In the midst of distress, the roads of Zion are in mourning, because no one comes to the appointed feast. All her gates are desolate, her priests are groaning, her virgins are afflicted. It is a horrible sight when everything's destroyed. The prophet Jeremiah's song of sorrow for Jerusalem's destruction. The nation of Judah had been utterly defeated, the temple destroyed, captives taken away to Babylon. Jeremiah's tears were for the suffering and humiliation of the people. But those tears penetrated even deeper into his heart. He wept because God had rejected the people for their rebellious ways. Each year, this book was read aloud to remind all of the Jews that their great city fell because of their stubborn sinfulness. The term lovers refers to nations such as Egypt, to whom Judah was kept turning to for help, but as the Babylonians closed in on Jerusalem, the nation of Judah turned away from God and sought help and protection from other nations instead of turning to the Lord God. And that was a shameful thing. As we read on into the fifth verse, and she herself is bitter. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord has caused her grief because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her little ones have gone away. as captives before the adversary, all her majesty, has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes have become like a deer that have found no pasture, and they have fled without strength before the pursuer. In the days of her afflictions and homelessness, Jerusalem remembers all her precious things that were from the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the adversary and no one helped her. The adversary saw her and they mocked at her ruin. Jerusalem sinned greatly. Therefore, she has become an unclean thing. All who honored her despise her because they have seen her nakedness. Even she herself groans and turns away. Her uncleanness was in her skirts. She did not consider her future. Therefore, she has fallen astonishingly. She has no comforter. See, O Lord, my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. The adversary has stretched out his hand over all the precious things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary, the ones whom you commanded, that they should not enter into your congregation. All her people groan, seeking bread. They have given their precious things for food, to restore their lives themselves. See, O Lord, and look, for I am despised. Is it nothing to all you who pass this way? Look and see if there is any pain like my pain, which was severely dealt out to me, which the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger. From on high, he sent fire into my bones, and it prevailed over them. He has spread a net for my feet. He has turned me back. He has made me desolate, faint all day long. The yoke of my transgressions is bound. These things were very serious to Jeremiah, but it wasn't that serious, evidently, to the rest of the people. They went into captivity, and it was like they didn't care to repent long enough for God's judgment to be restrained. The warning was loud and clear. If Judah played with fire, its people would get burned. Jerusalem foolishly took a chance and lost, refusing to believe that immorality and immoral living would bring God's punishment. And that's what we think today, I think, that we all might believe that God's not going to do anything. God doesn't punish like he used to. He doesn't even think about it. He doesn't even see us. He's not even there. And the ultimate consequence of sin is punishment. In Romans 6:23, we can choose to ignore God's warnings, but as surely as judgment came upon Jerusalem, so will it come upon those who deny God and defy it. Are you still listening to God's word? Are you obeying it? Obedience is a sure sign of your love for God. The yoke of my transgression is bound. At first, sin seems to offer freedom, but the liberty to do anything we want
gradually becomes a desire to do everything. Then we become captives to sin, bound by its yoke. Freedom from sin's captivity comes only from God and His blood. He gives us freedom not to do anything we want, but to do what He knows is best for us. Strange as it may seem, true freedom comes in obeying God, following His guidance, so that we can receive His best. You know, as we look at these things, we find it, and we realize, what do we have to do, actually? Is there any responsibility on our part to be saved or to maintain salvation? I want to ask you that question. Is there any responsibility on our part, or are we absolutely not responsible whatsoever? I want to ask you that, because many people say, oh, he cannot, remove you out of my hand. You can't lose. You can't lose it. Nothing you could do to lose your salvation. Have you heard that? Well, then that would exempt me from any responsibility whatsoever. Do I have any responsibility whatsoever? Once I ask God into my life, I can live like the devil. I can do anything I want. Is that what they're saying? Is that what is truth? Now look at Jerusalem. They were disobedient to God, but they still believed. They went to temple. They still did what they needed to do, but they became captives, slaves. God got so angry at them. Oh, this is a new day of grace, Brother Hansen. There's nothing you can do to lose it. What you're saying is, I have absolutely no responsibility whatsoever once I ask Jesus into my heart. I have no responsibility whatsoever for nothing. Nothing. Nothing I could do to lose it. I want to ask you that. I'm serious. No responsibility. Salvation with absolutely no responsibility on your part whatsoever. Okay. That means that you can get away with murder, adultery. No. You won't want to do that. Oh, you don't think so? A lot of Christians commit adultery, are unfaithful. A lot of them. Okay, so if there's no responsibility on my part, that means, what is the responsibility on my part? What is it? I want to ask you that question. What is the responsibility of a Christian to maintain their salvation? I want to know. Nothing? Well, what if they just absolutely quit believing God? And you know what causes a lack of belief? Sin. Sin separates you from God. And if sin separates you, and sin causes you to not believe, what if I just totally disbelieve and quit believing God, quit believing in Him, and I start believing everything in humanistic life and just quit talking to God, reading His Word, everything, totally? I want to ask you that question. I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to let you answer it. Well, that's our time for today. Lord God, reveal to us our responsibility in this relationship between you and us. I want to know what our responsibility is completely. Reveal to us, God. Come into our life anew. Help us to not have to ask that question, but to totally be so involved with our relationship with you and our communion with you that we won't have to ask that question. God, help us to obey you, to believe you, and to keep our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to our website, krciradio.com. And also, please write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.